show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It must be Thursday once again. And you are listening to the Mustang Car Show, coming to you loud and proud, of course, from the campus of Western Wyoming Community College. You are listening to Mustang Radio, KWWM 91.3 FM, Rock Springs, Wyoming. And being Thursday, being one of the best days of the week, because it is time for the Mustang Car Show, I have here in the studio with, well, let me introduce myself again. For those that do not know, or for the, if this is your first time tuning into the Mustang Car Show, I'm Tracy Hind, Assistant Professor of Automotive Technology here at Western Wyoming Community College. And I have here in the studio with me, of course, Andrew McCormick, automotive student extraordinaire, and Cam Gillens, other automotive student extraordinaire.
Yes.
Andrew's, did you say hi to the folks, Andrew?
I did.
Did you?
Did.
I nodded.
I nodded at the
So crowd. If you were watching us online, if you're listening online, then you saw his nod.
Yes.
And if you didn't, then you didn't. Or if you're not, then you didn't. Anyway, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Just great?
Except for it being Thursday, the only good thing is the radio show.
Yeah. So Thursday's not a good day?
No, because then I got the weekend to do homework and wish I was here doing car stuff.
So the weekend is boring because you are not in class.
Yeah.
See, isn't that a good attitude for a student to have?
It's fun to learn.
The highlight, the best times in life are times spent in class. I understand that you could say that for your automotive classes, but do you feel the same way about your non-automotive classes?
Yeah, I like the computer class, but I got that tomorrow, so.
Okay, well then you can look forward to that.
Oh yeah.
Right? So that's good. Anything else new? You know, this semester is just flying by.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
have either one of you stopped to count the number of days left before
I don't. I don't want to because it sounds like a nightmare.
We're done. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's flying by. Neither one of you are graduating just yet.
Nope. No.
In fact, yeah, so you'll be coming back next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You won't be graduating. Which is just fine, of course. Anyway, I just can't believe how quickly the time is flying by. The projects we have in class that we're in the middle of right now, it's like I almost look at them and go, gosh, I hope we can finish.
Right. Yeah.
I hope we can finish everything up. Like that Mustang job.
I know.
I think we'll get that done.
Oh, yeah. We got exactly as far as I said we'd get to.
And on a job like that, everything goes back together a lot faster than it came apart.
Yeah, definitely.
Much faster than it came apart. So anyway, we're doing... So we've got the 2012 Mustang GT up here that is the Western Mustang. And of course, because we are home of the Mustangs, we probably ought to have one in the automotive program.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting some set of JBA long tube headers on it with high performance cats.
Yes.
We're not going to eliminate the cats. We don't need to do that. It'll be fast with cats.
Oh yeah.
That's no problem. And actually, you know those cats, that shorty mid pipe, that X pipe with the cats in it?
Yeah.
It's not that much more than non-catted. The off-road pipe.
Yeah.
Because if there's no cats in it, they say it's off-road use only.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course, now what you end up doing with it yourself is up to you. But but anyway, it's not that much more money to keep the cats. And I don't think it's going to compromise the performance whatsoever. It would be interesting to actually get the catted and the non-catted mid-pipe and then run it with the cats and then run it without the cats.
Or we'll just go buy another Mustang. And
what the difference is.
Side by side.
Get another one. So we have two Mustangs.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we need. If we were to get another Mustang, then we'd need one of the newest generation. We need
a
2015, right?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got to buy it stock, though. You can't buy like the Roush or the special kind.
Yeah. No. We just get a regular GT like this one. I mean, when we got this car, that was kind of the idea. Let's just get a regular GT. And then the students can work on it to, they can modify it to make it faster. They can put all the goodies on it. And eventually it will be something just completely amazing. I mean, it gets a little bit better every year with every little bit of work that we do on it. So anyway, I think we'll get that project wrapped up.
I'll just come here during the summer and do it.
Get it. Yeah, that's right. Get it tuned up right. And get it running good.
So
anyway, that'll be fun. So let's see, news. What's new in the world of the automobile? So we talk about connected cars once in a while, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about how more and more we're seeing cars with connectivity, meaning cars that have some ability to get online, to communicate with the satellites, to do all those kinds of things. Well, General Motors is rolling out basically internet access. So on and I imagine this will eventually happen with this will be an option on all of their vehicles. But you will be able to get online, or the car will become a Wi-Fi hotspot, and the car itself will be able to get online. Now, whether that's useful or not, of course, is going to be up to the individual driver. But in order to get online, you will have to have some kind of internet service provider, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because the internet just isn't
it's not free there.
And it's, yeah, it's not free. You have to pay for that service.
Unfortunately.
General Motors is thinking that within the next, well, 3 years, which that's not very long.
No.
In the next 3 years, with this 4G LTE service that they're going to be providing through AT&T.
Oh, they go with AT&T.
They expect to make.
Right?
Yes, that's what they're doing.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Usually it's Verizon.
Yeah, and that's why
everything
I kind of go,
that's Verizon.
So you like AT&T better?
No.
Well, I don't know. I've never had AT&T.
Yeah, I know. I haven't either. But anyway, they expect to make on so the you're going to be paying a fee to have this 4G LTE connectivity in your car. I mean, the car will come with the capability to have it, but you're going to have to pay money, a monthly subscription or whatever, or to have it. Anyway, GM expects to make $350 million over 3 years just in providing internet service for their cars.
Are they going to incorporate that with the OnStar?
Isn't
you have
that
to
crazy?
Pay for that too.
I think
or is
there,
that an added
cost? No, I think there's going to be, it'll be bundled.
It'll be, well, if it's bundled, then I'd be fine.
It'll be bundled, but $350 million over 3 years is what they expect to make on that. I don't know that people are going to, I don't know that people are going to pay for that.
Well,
I mean, there's people that will. I mean, yeah. you give them any kind of gadget or gizmo and say, hey, yeah, you can use this cool thing. It's going to cost you, you know, $10 a month. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that be like, oh, great, whatever. I don't care. You know, can I put it in my monthly payment or whatever? And maybe they'll do that, but I don't know. The biggest reason that I don't think that people are going to pay for internet service to their car is this thing right here.
Right.
Right? How many people have an... for those of you that are watching us online, you know that I'm holding up my phone. My phone. Okay, which you can use these to get on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So why have the connectivity in the car? You know what they ought to do is they ought to be able to, they ought to, and they're doing, this is actually happening, but integrating this with the vehicle. So you use the Bluetooth on your smartphone to move data between your phone and the car and use your phone to connect to the internet.
Well, that's the thing that Chevy's been good for. They go with OnStar. In a general, Ford has the Ford Sync system,
mm-hmm.
and it connects through your phone,
mm-hmm.
and it connects through 911 and everything with your phone.
Right.
But then Chevy has OnStar that you have to pay for, and it does the same thing. So what they're going to do is release that, and you're going to have to pay for a subscription through Chevy,
mm-hmm.
and Ford's going to come out and say, well, you can just use your phone.
Yeah.
That's what I see happening.
Well, you know, with OnStar does a lot of stuff that the Ford Sync program doesn't do because the OnStar is so integrated into the car. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just feel like everything should probably go through the phone.
Yeah.
And a lot of the features of OnStar you could probably do through your phone.
I had OnStar.
But
I think the Sync system is a lot better.
You like it better?
Yeah.
See, people badmouth the Sync system all the time too. I don't know. I mean, certainly there's pros and cons both ways, and there's probably some people that are used to one and some people used to the other. But I don't know. I just can't imagine a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, internet service for my car. Yeah, I want to pay for that. You know, I mean, unless it's like just a couple bucks a month.
Right.
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't myself, but there's a lot of things I won't pay for that a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So I'm not maybe the one to judge that by. But anyway. I thought that was kind of
kind of interesting.
What about the next story? Okay. Engineer working for Toyota, one of their big engineers named Yoshikazu Tanaka, which that sounds like the name of a Toyota engineer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He is one of their smart guys over there. Anyway, he says there is no future for electric vehicles and that they are not practical.
Well, they need to fire him.
Well,
and I'll give him my resume.
Okay, but here's the thing. This guy is the man in charge of the design and development of the Toyota Mirai. You know the Toyota Mirai?
Yeah,
do you remember
hydrogen.
That car?
Yes.
That is the hydrogen fuel cell Toyota that they are going to be rolling out mass market later this year. He's the one in charge of that. So basically what he's saying is it's not like he's opposed to alternative fuels. So if you're out there going, yeah, I hate electric cars too. You know, electric is stupid. I agree with that guy. What he's saying is he thinks that hydrogen fuel cells are the future. And the reason, I can't agree with him because the reason that he says they're the future is that if we had charging infrastructure out there that could charge up enough vehicles to replace basically what we have on the road. So basically, if we took all the cars, we made them electric cars, mm-hmm. and we plugged them all in at this, not necessarily at the exact same time, but that would be such a strain on the electrical grid.
Right.
That we would have major problems, and we would probably just end up with more pollution in the long run than we would if we had more fuel cell powered cars. Here's the problem, though. Right now, we don't have all of the hydrogen fueling stations that are out there, which, of course, are exactly zero in the state of Wyoming.
Right.
Right. So talking about in California, where they actually have some hydrogen fueling stations, nearly all of them get their hydrogen from water. So we're using electrolysis mm-hmm. to render the hydrogen from water. And the amount of electricity that is needed to get hydrogen from water is the equivalent of roughly four times the amount that you actually get. So you spend four times as much electricity as what you get from the hydrogen when you put it in the fuel cell to power that car. Because, of course, a hydrogen fuel cell car is just an electric car. It's just not a battery operated electric car. It runs off of the fuel cell.
Yep.
So talk about using a tremendous amount of electricity. Now, he cites a hydrogen fueling station that they have in Japan that actually gets hydrogen from sewage.
Okay.
So now you're talking, well, if you can get hydrogen from sewage, because sewage is good for what? Nothing.
Nothing.
But if you can get hydrogen from sewage, then maybe he has a point. But I don't see anybody doing that.
No.
There's one station in Japan doing it. You know, I mean, we can get, there's lots of potential for different places where we could get hydrogen.
Yeah. If it was easier to get the stuff, then we'd have it already.
But the easiest way to do it now, small scale, is getting it from water, using copious amounts of electricity to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what you think about that guy. Maybe he has a point. You know, if you think about it, Toyota does not, I'm trying to think, I don't know that Toyota has any battery-powered No, they've got one. No, there's one. RAV. There's a RAV4 that's electric-powered. There's a Toyota RAV4. I don't know if they sell it right now, but they have within the last couple of years. That was actually, the drivetrain was developed by Tesla. Toyota actually teamed up with Tesla to develop a battery-powered RAV4. That's the only one I can think of.
Full battery?
BEV. Yeah. Battery electric vehicle, RAV4, with Tesla drivetrain parts in it. And that's it. But I've never seen one of those. So, I mean, it's like a unicorn.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about it, but you never see one. It's the stuff of legend, I guess. But everything else, like obviously the Prius is hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, they make tons and tons of hybrids. They make plug-in hybrids. You know, there's a Prius plug-in hybrid.
Yep.
But battery electric vehicles, they haven't really gotten on that bandwagon much. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do to push this Mirai.
on the public. And I mean, obviously,
I would drive it.
Yeah, well, I would drive it, not in Wyoming.
Right. No, I have to go to California.
See, that's
some
the
gas.
Problem I see with these full electric vehicles. Unless they get a points where you can go further than you can do a gas car and do it reliably, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, see, the fuel cell vehicles, they'll go 300
miles.
Oh,
yeah. I know. But I'm just talking about full electric.
The full electric, it's...
It's coming around.
Yeah, it's coming around.
I know it's getting there, but
I know.
Battery technology gets better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it costs so much for your batteries, too, and that's...
Yeah, but they last forever.
Yeah, but the batteries... Well, here's the thing about
forever.
The batteries on the hybrids. Hasn't really been an issue. You know, when the hybrids first came out 15 years ago, people said, oh, every 5 years, and you got to drop, you know, $4,000 on a new battery? No way. Well, guess what? They've proven that that's not the case with the hybrids. Now, the electric vehicles, it's a different thing because it's a much bigger battery. The loads on the battery, the demands on the battery are much greater because that's your only power.
Yeah.
And so we'll find out in a few years. But they're really good at controlling battery state of charge to the point where they can make these batteries last a long time. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of battery issues even on the pure EVs. But time will tell. We'll find out. Anyway.
It'll be an interesting future.
Yeah,
it will
be.
The future is always interesting.
Always. Yeah.
Crash test ratings are in for the aluminum Ford F-150.
Oh, yeah.
The soda can Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Crash test ratings have been released.
Oh, boy.
And what do you think? Do you think it's safe?
Oh, I know it's safe.
Or do you think it's just going to crumple up like a Coke can and...
It's going to crumple, but it's going to crumple in a good way.
It's going to crumple in a good way. That's what they're designed to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out, and so far we only have the crash test ratings for the what do they call their big mega, not mega cab. That's Dodge's name. Their big extended cab, four full door crew cab or whatever. They call it crew cab, don't they?
Yeah, it's crew cab.
Yeah. So the crew cab F-150 soda can version, the crash test ratings are better than the last generation F-150.
I figured.
The aluminum Ford F-150 is safer than the last steel F-150.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because the body panels have nothing to do with keeping you safe. The body panels have zero to do with keeping you safe. They have zero to do with maintaining the structure of that vehicle. Nothing. It is all in the chassis design, the framework of the vehicle. That is the thing that keeps you safe.
Yep.
And people just saying, oh, those aluminum things, those are going to be... Nonsense. Nonsense. Stuff drives me crazy.
I know, me too.
Okay? Well, that's new.
People start talking like that, I just walk away. I can't
handle nothing new. Something new comes out. It must be bad.
Right.
That's how they talk. They talk like that. Apparently, you know, people that...
Yeah.
I know. And now there's like, you know, two of our listeners just turned off the radio because they're like, he's insulting my intelligence. I can't abide that kind of talk.
Don't see what we're
doing.
So now
our other listener, though, he's still listening. So yeah. We'll be all right. Anyway. So new Chevy Malibu coming out, right?
Yep.
Seen it. It actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's probably the coolest looking Malibu ever. I would say.
I haven't seen it.
It is.
Well.
Now, how far back are you going?
that's exactly that right there.
Okay. Anyway.
Four-door, yes.
Looks pretty cool. So the new Malibu has a new system that allows parents to monitor their teenage drivers. Basically, it's a babysitter. Awesome. It's a babysitter in the car for teenage drivers. It's like an electronic chaperone that will watch their driving. And then it can report back to the parents.
That would be awesome.
Do you have any idea how that works?
Probably through connectivity.
Yep.
It's weird.
Well, yeah, certainly it could report in real time. And I don't know if it has that functionality, but that wouldn't be hard to do where it could send a text message to the mom's phone, you know, that says, your kid is driving like a hellion or something like that. Do you want me to kill the ignition? And they could just like with a click of they could respond and reply to the text message.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Or they could text that. There could be like a passcode. They could send a text message to a certain number that would shut the car down.
Make the car misfire and have them pull over.
But it's really easy to put this kind of technology into a car, because if you think about all of the operational data that is all available on the network.
Yeah.
So the network on that vehicle, of all the computers that basically run that car, there is so much operational data. Think of things like, obviously, vehicle speed. That's just another bit of information on that network.
Yep.
Things like throttle angle. how hard they're leaning on the noisy pedal, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's something that is all data on the network. And so you could really program some kind of an algorithm that would monitor this and not just report data, you know, that shows, well, during this trip, they achieved a top speed of this, and they did it on this road because the GPS said this is where we were. But it could actually analyze, and it could say, well, they exceeded the speed limit 4 times by so many miles per hour, you know, and they did this. So all that information is there. It's really, really easy to program that kind of a thing into a car. But I think that's cool. I mean, for a long time, we've had devices that you could plug into the data link connector that could watch operational data, you know. But this is just integrated into the car.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had some kind of, like, real-time notification technology where it sends a text message to the parent's phone or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then the parents could text back and say, limit maximum throttle angle to 25%.
Right. And you can even monitor their how good they're driving with the lane departure system.
Oh, yeah. You could, yeah, and with all the cameras they're putting in cars now, you could just, like, all the cameras could be on record. you could watch it. You could play it back. Anyway, I think it's a cool feature. I don't know how much cost it adds to the vehicle. I don't know if I'd be willing to pay for it.
I would buy that.
But I might, you know. I might, because I don't have any kids that are driving, but I will a year from now.
Right?
A year from now, my oldest will be driving. So that might be something useful.
My truck has a thing. It's called MyKey. I can set volume limit on my stereo speed.
Yeah.
But I don't have any idea how to hook that up or make it even start.
What do you mean? Just turn it on.
Yeah. It comes on, but it says I have to set a key to it, and I can't set the administer key because you have that key.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You use one of your extra keys, like the Mustang does it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hmm.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you think about it, if you had a Mustang, and you'd be like, here, son, do you want to drive the Mustang? You could give him the key, and it's like, you limited the maximum throttle angle to 15%.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That would be awesome.
And, like, top speed is governed at 35.
No interstate for you.
You know? And he'd be like, oh, man, come on, Dad. And it's like, what? What more do you need?
Right.
You just need to be able to drive down the road.
It's all about looks.
Do the speed limit. Yeah,
look
and that's
cool.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, if you look cool driving around this car.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's cool technology. One other thing. This is there's a couple things, I guess. Traffic cameras. We don't have traffic cameras here. Meaning ticket cameras. So photo cops.
Yeah.
Photo cops.
We don't have those here, but they're apparently becoming.
I'm glad for that, by the way.
They're what?
I'm glad for that, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
It turns out people generally are opposed to them. Can you believe that?
No.
I can't. especially the speed photo cops.
Yeah.
So the ones that take a picture of you if you're speeding.
Speed traps, yeah.
Yeah, people are opposed to those, it turns out. Like the public in general. Can you believe that? However, they do favor, to a certain extent, the red light cameras. So if you run a red light, it takes a picture and gives you a ticket. People do favor those, but only 52% of people favor. So that's a majority, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be the majority that's almost been hit by somebody running
red light.
At least.
Yeah.
Everybody speeds.
Yeah. And isn't that how it is? Like people like us, we're all reasonable drivers. Speeding a little bit, we go, it's maybe not a big deal. Running a red light, that's no good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's all breaking the law. But I think people feel like there's a lot of municipalities and police out there that use those things for revenue generation. I don't know. But the companies that actually manufacture these systems are actually struggling to keep their doors open.
Wow.
Because there's so many cities and governments out there that are actually not doing it anymore or not using these things anymore, that the companies that build the cameras are struggling And let me shed a tear for them.
A moment of silence.
A moment of silence. Okay.
And there it was.
And there it was.
There it was. It's over.
So we'll move on. Now, anyway, so give me a guess as to what car holds its value better than any other car. Which car out there retains its value more than any other car? Not brand. I want make and model. Yeah. Make and model. If you had to guess, which car depreciates the fewest? So that means if you go out and buy one of these brand new, you know, you're never going to be upside down in it. And if you go out and buy one that's like a year or two old, you probably would have been better off just buying a brand new one because they hold their value so well. Mm. What would that be? Silence.
Lincoln.
Lincoln?
No.
No, because we did, because a few weeks ago we talked about the cars that depreciate the fastest.
Yeah.
And luxury cars were the worst. Mm-hmm. So luxury cars depreciate the fastest, which makes a lot of sense. But what car would it be?
I'm going to go with your screen.
Give me a guess.
Subaru Legacy Outback.
Nope. No, although that is a very good performer, but that is not the one.
Are we talking about that still in production or?
No, currently in production now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I have no clue.
No clue? They're waiting for me to click on it on
yes.
my computer.
Anticipation is killer.
Yeah. Would you believe the Toyota Tacoma?
Yes, actually, yes.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Well, I was thinking, that's why I was asking. I was going to say the FJ Cruiser, but they're not being made anymore.
The Land Cruisers, typically, any of them, FJ Cruisers held their value really well.
Yeah.
The regular Toyota Land Cruisers hold their value very, very well. So the top 10 list, Toyota Tacoma's number one. Mm-hmm. So going to the other side, number 10, Honda CR-V.
Really?
Yeah. Honda CR-V. Ford F-150.
That one is surprising.
Well, actually not. I think it's kind of surprising that it's towards the bottom of the
That it's number 10. 9. So it should be further up the scale.
Because of Texas.
Because of Texas. Number 8, the Toyota 4Runner. If you've ever shopped for used Toyota 4Runners, they're always really expensive. Number 7, the Chevy Silverado.
I don't.
You don't believe that one at all.
I think
so. The Chevy Silverado has better resale value than the F-150.
That is, I think they got that flopped.
Actually,
this is actually according to Kelley Blue Book, I should say.
Well, they don't know anything. Let's go to Nauta.
They're all kind of the same, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all.
I don't know. Number 6 is the GMC Sierra. So it holds its value a little bit better than the Chevy Silverado.
I can actually see that one. Yeah, pretty good.
Number 5, the GMC Canyon. So General Motors is doing real good here.
Yeah.
They paid.
Which, I, you know, that one kind of bothers me a little bit, because how long has that truck been out?
The Canyon?
Yeah.
2000.
No, I should say the, well.
Well, that one.
Okay,
that
it depends.
One's a little skewed, I think.
I know, it depends, right? Because they quit building it for a few years.
Yeah.
And then they brought it back. Well, this one, it actually specifically says the 2015 GMC Canyon, which I think, well, 2015. Those just came out 6 months ago.
Yeah, I think that one's a little skewed there.
So I don't know. We'll see how they do. I think if you give them a few more years to see how they hold their value, that might be better. But they are proving to be fairly popular. I mean, they're doing well, so they may hold their value just fine. And then of course the Chevy Colorado, which is the same thing. Yes. So we've got the Colorado, the Canyon, the Sierra, and the Silverado.
Don't you think they should have combined those together, because they're
all
pretty much the same.
Yeah, I know. They're all kind of similar. So those are taking up 4 spots. So then what's going to be number 3? The Toyota Tundra. Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Is number 3.
I can see that,
So Toyota Tundra is number 3. The Jeep Wrangler is number 2.
Definitely can see that.
Yeah,
I figured
definitely.
You could.
They do hold their value. I used to own a Wrangler, and I remember when I bought it. You know, you're paying a little bit more for how old a vehicle it is. So that one's number 2. So, nice. And then, of course, the Toyota Tacoma is number 1. Interesting how many of these things are like, well, all of them, they're all trucks. I mean, the CR-V is not much of a truck, but.
They say they hold their value.
Hold their value the best. Yes. Yep, they hold their value the best.
Hmm.
It's funny the Toyota Tacoma is up there because, I mean, that thing hasn't changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
Until they're just barely, like, the 2016 model is supposed to be all new. And it doesn't even look all new. It still looks similar. But those Tacomas, I mean, they really do hold their value.
I like my buddy's Tundra. It's a really good truck. So the Tacoma is basically just a smaller version of that.
Well, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I know that.
What I'm saying is that Toyota makes pretty good trucks.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't the Tacoma be awesome?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll go for that. But anyway, so if you go to KellyBlueBook.com, you can look up. They have 80 categories, and some of them I just think they're getting. It's almost like they made up a category so that everybody could win a prize.
Everybody gets one.
But the brands that did the best were. Well, the very, very best brands were Subaru and Lexus.
I can see that, yeah.
Definitely.
They had the most vehicles that were the top in their category. But then they don't rank the rest of the brands anywhere. But some of the other brands that show up a lot are, you know, Honda and Toyota, some of those that you would expect that always typically hold their value really well. Does any of this matter? Who cares, right?
If you're into that, I guess.
Well, yeah. It kind of depends on what you do. I mean, for your cars, if you buy a car and you drive it for 10 years, then it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you buy a car and you drive it for 2 years and then you want to turn around and resell it, or even if you just turn around and trade it in for something new, then yeah, it's going to matter to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, interesting. Of all the different types of cars, of course, the luxury cars and the sports cars, kind of those cars that start out more expensive, those are always the ones that depreciate the most. Which makes sense because if you are somebody, like, let's say you want to go buy a new a Cadillac Lincoln, a Lexus, Infiniti. If that's what you want, you probably got the money to go buy a brand new one.
Yeah.
And why would you go buy a used one? Because you got the money for a brand new one. And there's not very many people out there that say, I want a nice, fancy, high-end luxury car. I don't want to get one that's about 3 years old. You know, people usually don't do that. So that's part of the reason. Plus, they're probably just overpriced. Because who needs all that luxury nonsense?
Let's see.
Okay. Big topic of the day. And we're going to keep this nice and light. So we're shifting away from the news. Big topic of the day. Would you rather? And we've done this before, and this always makes for an interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna play the game. Would you rather? There's no winners. There's no losers. All you have to do is state your opinion on would you rather one thing or the other. So I've got a list of questions here, and of course, if any of you think of a good would you rather question, meaning these two here in the studio with me, then
and our one listener,
then you can go ahead and put that out there if you want to call in with a question. A would you rather question that we can hash out. Our phone number here to get on the Mustang Car Show is 382-1777. 382-1777. You can be on the Mustang Car Show. We're playing Would You Rather. So I'm going to kick this off with a kind of a typical would you rather kind of question. Would you rather have a pristine mint condition 1969 Ford Mustang? Or would you rather have a 2015 Ford Mustang? So this is the classic case of would you rather have the classic or would you rather have the modern? Which one would you rather have? Both are pretty great, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I would rather have an old one and sell it and buy two new ones.
I don't know what a 69 Mustang would go for. If you had something special like a Boss or something like that.
Well, if it was like all original, it'd definitely bring some good money.
It would bring some good money.
Yeah.
We've got a call.
That's a weird.
Maybe somebody has an opinion on this. I'm gonna see if I can work the phone. Hello, caller. Are you there? You're on the air.
I am.
Oh, here we are.
Yeah, I've got a very good opinion on this.
Oh, you've got a very...
I would much rather have a 69 than a new 15.
Okay.
Because anybody can go out and get a new 15. They're a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. But to have a classic, that's the one that everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to love the old classic.
So people won't love the new one?
I'm not saying that, but it will get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Here's why. I agree. I would take the classic too. And if for no other reason, when you go out and get a brand new one and you drive it off the lot, like we were just talking about with the depreciation, the value is going to be going down. Yep. If you have a brand new, or not brand new, but like new 1969 Mustang, the value is only going up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So based on that, if nothing else, but also the point you make about, you know, people seeing a classic that's in really good shape, that's going to be a real head turner.
Yeah.
The brand new one, it could be a head turner too, but not the same way.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of new.
This is
my style.
So we kind of agree, don't we?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Since I've got you here on the line, can I throw out the next question to you?
Oh yeah.
It's Ford related. Okay.
Even better.
Would you rather have a, let's say, 1976 Ford Pinto or a 1976 AMC Gremlin?
Gremlin.
Whew. Yeah.
That's like saying, would you rather get kicked in the nuts or in the teeth? That's a tough one.
Well, see, you know, on the one hand, I go, well, the Pinto was, I think the Pinto was a better car. Right?
Yeah.
I think it was probably a better car. But if we go back to using the same logic that we used before, I think an AMC Gremlin's going to stand out more than a Pinto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gremlins are
cool.
Right? So, I mean, the AMC Gremlin is so bad that it's almost cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Okay, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If the AMC Gremlin had not appeared in a major movie, would it have the same appeal?
The Gremlin's in a movie?
The Gremlin is in a movie. These young guys here are not. You're thinking of Wayne's World, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this, though.
Who doesn't know Wayne's World?
Okay, but let me tell you this. That was a Pacer.
Ooh.
Was it?
That was a Pacer. I don't know. We might have to Google that. Google that.
Google it.
Car in Wayne's World. I'm pretty sure it was a Pacer.
I thought they even referred to it as the Gremlin.
I was thinking about the Gremlin in, what is that, Bedtime Stories?
I don't know. I don't remember that one.
I
saw that movie, but I don't remember. I don't remember any AMC products being in that movie.
But he came out and kicked him in the shin. I'll look it all up.
I don't know. So look it up. Type in the car from Wayne's World, and let's see what it is. Because I'm thinking it's a Pacer, but maybe I'm wrong. It would be the first time I was wrong if I was ever
AMC
wrong.
Pacer.
Yeah, Pacer. However, the Pacer and the Gremlin are practically the same thing, are they not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if we were to have a would you rather question, would you rather have an AMC Pacer or a Gremlin? It's just kind of like, well, they're the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a tough question. Pinto or Gremlin?
Right there.
I'm a Ford guy, so I would probably go for the Pinto, but I would probably up my fire insurance.
So you just based on blind loyalty. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, there's...
I don't think I'd really want either one of them. But if I had to take one of them, I'd probably just go off of loyalty.
You could get a Pinto, drop a coyote in it,
right,
and then have a good time.
I think that's what the SHO is, isn't it?
The SHO? SHO Pinto?
Yeah.
The Pinto SHO? Yeah, I don't think they had one of those, but... They should have.
Yeah.
They should have had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, great. Thanks for playing. You win our respect.
Sweet. Does it come with a shirt?
It'll be $20.
Yeah. For $20, we'll get you a shirt.
Thanks for calling in. You owe us $20.
That's right. All right. So, well,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was given a challenge by a friend of mine to drive as many non-Ford cars as I could.
Yeah.
I got to drive a newer Subaru Outback. I think it was a 2012 or 13.
Yeah.
And it has a transmission in it that I don't know what they call it. I think they call it a seamless transmission.
CVT.
Where you, mm-hmm. you can't feel the shift. How does that work?
Kind of like a snowmobile transmission, where you've got two pulleys, and the pulleys can vary their diameter. So between the two of them, you've got a big belt, and the two pulleys can vary the diameter in between. So if you think about it, like on the 10-speed bike that you had back when you were a kid, when you had your chain riding on the small sprocket, and then you had the chain in the back riding on a big sprocket, then that gave you such a gear ratio. And then when you would shift to your front sprocket, a bigger sprocket on the front, and a smaller sprocket on the back, that would give you a different gear ratio. So it's kind of like that. But these pulleys vary their diameter kind of on the fly. So they expand and contract. Imagine two halves of a pulley, okay? And by two halves, I mean, imagine you split the pulley lengthwise. So turn that pulley on its side and split it. And the two halves of the pulley move away from each other, which causes that belt to move towards the center of the pulley. And then the two halves of the pulley move towards each other, which causes that belt to move towards the outer edges of the pulley. Well, when it's riding on the outer edges, the pulley is bigger. When it's riding towards the center, the pulley is smaller. So the two pulleys vary their diameter on the fly. And that gives you this continuously variable gear ratio with no fixed gear ratios in between.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how they do that. What did you think of that transmission? Did it feel funny?
You know, when I first was riding in the vehicle, I didn't notice and I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Until the owner, who is a Mopar fan, he's really into Mopar vehicles, he mentioned it to me and said, feel the shift on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, you can't feel it. You
yeah.
can't tell. All you can see is the RPMs.
Right.
And so I didn't notice it until he told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pretty impressed with it because you couldn't feel it. There wasn't any kind of transition period where you felt a jarring motion at all. It
nope.
felt pretty good.
Yeah, nice and smooth. The whole idea behind that is that it kind of keeps the engine RPMs at their most efficient. So it keeps the engine kind of operating in that sweet spot where you're building good torque and horsepower, and you are able to produce good power without having to over-rev the engine at all. So the engine doesn't over-rev. You're not lugging the motor. It's kind of operating in its happy place all the time.
Yep.
So the idea is better fuel economy is what you get with that. And they work.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
It's kind of cool.
Great. Well, thanks for your help.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for calling, Michael.
Yep. See ya.
That was Michael.
Yeah.
He's one of the three listeners out there. Anyway, okay.
It is a gremlin in bedtime stories.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So Pacer in Wayne's World, gremlin. Bedtime
yep.
story. Okay.
Famous guy.
All right. Awesome. Next would you rather question. Would you rather have for your personal vehicle Bumblebee or the Magic School Bus?
Magic School Bus. All the way.
Bumblebee or the Magic School Bus?
Bumblebee.
And I don't know if the Magic School Bus comes with Miss Frizzle or not.
Oh, see, you didn't specify.
So I know. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like, if that's a factor for you, if Miss Frizzle comes with the Magic School Bus, then does that make you want the Magic School Bus more or less? I don't
How
know.
Am I supposed to know what part of the body I'm in without Miss Frizzle?
Well, I know. She'd be like, this is the spleen, kids.
Yeah, you'll never know that. I think it's an eardrum.
Because, you know, people like us, we're car guys. We can't tell a spleen from an eardrum when we're inside it.
If it doesn't come with Miss Frizzle, then Bumblebee.
Then Bumblebee?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think, Cam?
Bumblebee.
You want Bumblebee?
Yeah.
You don't want the Magic School Bus?
No.
It can get really small. Like, it can, and it can get really big, and it can fly. It's a Magic School Bus, for crying out loud. What does Bumblebee do? He transforms into a robot. Yeah, big deal.
Oh, yeah.
He's too big to fit in your house. What are you going to do with him? Hey, Bumblebee, mow the lawn.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you could have him do that.
I guess be a dull moment.
I don't know, the Magic School Bus.
That's exactly it.
I think I'm going for the Magic School Bus because magic. That's why.
Yeah, magic. Well,
magic.
That's what I'm gonna say.
Gotta have Miss Frizzle.
Okay, next one. Next one. Would you rather have a cheap car and an expensive house, or an expensive car and a cheap house? I don't know what this is like. I have cheap cars and a cheap house, so I'm just that's all I have. So would you rather have an expensive car and a cheap house, or a cheap car and an expensive house? And you know, the to me house. The house. So you'd rather have the expensive house?
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. If I ever get to a point where I can either upgrade from my cheap car to an expensive car, or if I can upgrade, or I can pick, I can upgrade one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to upgrade my house first.
Yeah, for sure.
But I will say that it seems to me that the Rock Springs way quite often is the opposite.
Yeah.
Because how many times do you see in front of some little small house, you know, a cheap house, and you see a brand new, big, expensive pickup truck?
Yeah.
You see that a lot. So there are some people out there that turns out they'd rather have an expensive car and a cheap house.
I was driving through a trailer court. There was a Cadillac sitting in front of a trailer. I was like, that's good life choices.
Yeah. Would you rather have, as your daily driver, a semi-truck, tractor only, no trailer, or an original Fiat 500?
And we're still going with the semi has a sleeper, right?
The semi has a sleeper. Yeah, you can have a sleeper on your semi.
The semi.
So would you rather drive a semi-tractor every day, or would you rather drive an original Fiat 500? Cam's not sure. He's torn.
No, I know exactly what I want.
Oh, what do you want?
Fiat, no comparison.
Oh, no comparison. Why are you so so much for the Fiat?
Curious.
Because there's not very many of them. Yours is the only one I've ever seen.
In the state of Wyoming or otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one probably is the only one in the state of Wyoming.
I would almost guarantee it.
It's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go for the Fiat too. It's a little
stick with the semi.
It's a little more maneuverable.
Well, you haven't rode in a semi then. The right way. We'll go for a ride. I'll show you maneuverability.
Now I understand that you can if you're a good driver, especially if you're not pulling a trailer.
Oh, yeah,
you
everywhere.
You can probably go just about anywhere you want. You just got to watch your clearances overhead and
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and don't piss off your neighbors.
Definitely.
All right, next question. Would you rather have a car but no shoes, or shoes but no car?
Car and no shoes.
Yep.
So you can't wear shoes at all.
That's fine.
But you can have a car.
Yes.
Car.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. It's like my feet would get used to being bare. I could get used to being barefoot.
Yep.
I could not get used to not having a car.
Nope.
I'm just way too dependent on that.
Yep.
Would you rather have a Koenigsegg 1:1?
This is a terrible question.
Or a Ferrari, the Ferrari? What would you rather have? A Ferrari, the Ferrari, or a Koenigsegg 1:1?
Koenigsegg.
That's a tough one.
Yes, it is.
The Koenigsegg's a little more rare. Yeah. I mean, they're not building as many of those as Ferrari's building the LaFerrari. But the LaFerrari's, I mean, that's super rare.
It's just
anyway.
Another Ferrari.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, you know what I mean.
I don't know if I know what you mean. But that's a tough one.
Yeah.
There's Ferraris that are powerful, and then there's other Ferraris.
On the one hand, if somebody said, well, you can have like the greatest Ferrari ever built, basically. Or you could have, which, you know, and it's got all the history behind Ferrari in it. Or you could have something that is faster than the LaFerrari, the 1:1, which is the fastest car built right now.
Except for the Ruggera.
Built by, well, but the Ruggera is not built yet.
No, but it will be.
But it will be. So the 1:1, that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can come down on one side or the other for sure. There's more dealerships for Ferrari in the country, so you'd have better support. Not that we factor in those kinds of
just fix it ourselves
questions that make total sense.
Yeah.
Those practical questions don't necessarily figure in, but that's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is really tough. I think I'd have to drive them.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to drive them and figure it out. If somebody told me, nope, you just got to pick one.
I couldn't.
I think it's hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard. It's really hard. Maybe I'd pick the Ferrari.
That's what I'm kind of leaning towards.
I'm going to say Ferrari.
Yeah.
That's what my instincts are telling me.
Yeah. Okay, it's cooler looking than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this question? Would you rather win a trip to travel anywhere in the world for a week's vacation, anywhere you want, or would you rather have access to any car you can pick, any car in the world that you can pick, for 1 month? So you get to have any car in the world you want for 1 month, or you get to travel on a week's vacation to any exotic location around the world of your choice.
I'll go for the travel.
I go for the car.
Yeah. That's tough.
I don't know. That's really pretty, too.
So, yeah, see, if somebody... So you could have a Koenigsegg one-to-one for a month.
Yeah, but I know that I would push that car so hard that that would be my last month on Earth.
Well, that's a possibility. That's a possibility.
It is.
I don't know. This is a tough one, too. It really is a tough one, too. I might go for the car. I think I'm going to pick the car. And the reason for that is I can't conceive of an exotic enough location that I couldn't just say, well, I'll just save up a few $1,000 and we'll go do a vacation. But there's no way I'm going to save up a few $1,000 and be able to have access to something like a Koenigsegg one-to-one.
That's a really good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll go with the car. I changed my idea.
You changed your mind?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the logic there is just infallible.
It was.
Yeah. Next one. Next question. We still got time for a few more. Would you rather have to drive a car in Phoenix, Arizona, in July with no air conditioning? Or would you rather drive a car in Big Piney, Wyoming, in January with no heat?
Phoenix all the way.
So Big Piney, Wyoming, one of the coldest places in the 48 states. With no heat. It's like...
I would do Big Piney.
So you would take the cold?
Yes. I'd rather freeze to death than burn to death.
Well, roll down the window.
It doesn't matter. Have you ever been to Phoenix?
I know, but...
Oh, God, it's so hot.
It's hot. I still could probably take the hot better than I can the freezing
cold.
I'm
going to take the heat, too. I'm going to take a car in Phoenix with no air conditioning over a car in Big Piney with no heat.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to take that, too, just because I feel like...
Yes.
I feel like no matter how uncomfortable you might get in that car driving around, it will not kill you, right? 110 degrees, 115 degrees, you're inside the car, so you've got some shade on you. Mm-hmm. That will not make you dead. But the cold in January in Big Piney, if you're exposed to it, it will make you dead. And you say, well, I could put on a coat. Well, that's fine. You can put on a coat. Your defrost isn't going to work. Your windows are going to fog up.
And your car possibly is not going to work the best, being as cold as it is.
Maybe not. But see, generally, I'm the kind of person that I would rather... I would cope better with extreme heat versus extreme cold. I'm not... Neither one of them really bothers me a lot. I'm not one of those people that, you know, when it's January and I'm freezing my butt off and I'm just like, oh, I hate this, blah, blah, you know. I don't get that way. I'm not really sensitive to either one. I can deal with extreme heat just fine. I can deal with extreme cold just fine. But choosing between the two, I'll go for heat. And the point I always bring up is that in extreme heat, you never have crappy road conditions.
Yep.
You know, they never shut down. They never once have shut down I-80 because, you know, summer weather conditions were just horrible. Okay. That
Even
just doesn't happen.
The roads get so hot, the pavement starts pulling off.
Well, yeah, that happens. Yeah. But it doesn't make you, you know,
no.
slide off the road in a 15-car pileup.
No.
Next question. Would you rather have, let's see. What's one that's, we did that one. Would you rather have a car that runs perfectly, no mechanical troubles, but it doesn't look very good? Or would you rather have a car that looks fantastic, but has tons of mechanical problems? So it's one that you look good in it riding around town when it's actually running.
Yeah.
Or one that nobody's going to notice because it looks like a piece of crap, but it always drives.
That's hard. That is kind of hard.
That is kind of hard, huh?
Yeah. Question.
That is kind of hard. I'm going to go for the good car that looks bad. I'm going to go for the good car that looks bad because so much of the time, think about, like, if you've had a car that you were really frustrated with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, I guess, an example I would give is I used to have a Jeep Wrangler, and I had tons of problems with it. Tons and tons of problems with it. And it looked great. It looked really good. It was a great-looking car. But I had tons of problems with it. When I had problems with it, it would leave me stranded and stuff. I hated it. I hated that car. The nice rims and tires, the lift on it, the all the fancy stuff it had on it, none of that meant a single solitary thing to me when I'm trying to drive down the road and the thing keeps on dying on me. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
So when it comes right down to it, I'm trying to get to work and this thing keeps on puking on me.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good it looked. I hated that thing. But when it was running and I was out off road someplace having fun with it, I loved it. So I loved it and I hated it.
So yeah. It depends on the variation between how long your car will run for.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, cars that I've had that were ugly and were not cool at all, but they always ran well, there was never a moment when I hated them. Yeah, I never thought, I love this car, you know. A lot of times there would be like this certain affection I would have for the car because I was just like, this thing always runs well. It's always so dependable. It never, ever lets me down. And so it almost makes me kind of love the car. I don't love it because it looks good. I don't love it because I look cool driving down the road in it. But I love it because it never lets me down. So that's why I'm going for the quality car or the reliable car over the car that looks cool. However, if we were talking about the difference between, let's say, you get to drive this old Toyota Corolla, which is in really mechanically is really great but looks ugly, versus this Lamborghini Countach, which is a maintenance nightmare, then it's like, I probably learned to deal with
that. That's what's tearing me is that part right there.
I know.
If we did that, then I would take the Countach.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, let's do one more. One more question. Would you rather have a garage full of British cars or French cars?
I didn't get to ask this question. What cool car do the French make?
They make
Bugatti.
They make Bugatti? That was German.
No. The Veyron, it's pretty much German. But classically speaking, Bugatti is a French car. Citroën.
Yeah. Peugeot.
Renault. And then if you go back, there's some old, like the old classic French cars are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. You know, I was given some examples earlier of the cars like the Delahaye and the Talbot and, you know, some of those beautiful, fantastic cars to look at.
Who made Jaguar again? Was it the British?
Jaguar's British.
British,
okay,
yeah.
I'll go with British.
I'm kind of leaning towards British also.
If you can pick whichever ones you want, I may go for the French cars.
Yeah, I almost agree with you on that.
If we were talking about like current French car mm-hmm. offerings versus current British car offerings, I'm going with the British cars.
Well,
you know, because I'm thinking of stuff like, okay, some of the new Jaguars,
which
are fantastic.
They are fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to put like an Ariel Atom in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe a Lotus. Maybe, what else? Yeah. What else do we got that would be really cool?
Bentley.
Maybe a Bentley.
Oh, Bentley.
Yeah. So, Rolls. You got Rolls.
But if we're going old stuff, like old, real old stuff, I might go with the French cars.
Yeah. I'll
take classic French cars in the front and new British cars in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, they're not going to run worth a darn.
Yeah. No.
They'll still be fun.
Either way, they're not going to run. But, you know, go to Jay Leno's garage on YouTube. He just did a video a week or two ago of the, it was a Talbot. What was it? Talbot. It's the teardrop. The Talbot teardrop. I can't remember which. Anyway, go look at that video. That car is just amazing to look at. Absolutely amazing. So anyway, that is Would You Rather.
Isn't that fun?
It was. That was actually fun. Yes.
Yeah, we should do that more often. I always forget about that one. You guys should remind me. Let's do Would You Rather. Because there's no shortage of Would You Rather questions.
No.
So I want both of you, this is your homework now.
Oh God.
Come up with some more Would You Rather questions. As they come to you, just write them down. Keep a little piece of paper in your wallet.
Oh, I got four in my head.
And you can write them down. Okay, we'll save those. Write them down for next time.
Do not forget.
Because we are all out of time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Sadly, on the Mustang Car Show, we are all out of time. But I would like to thank you all for listening. And I would like to, of course, invite you to please, please tune in again next week when you will hear Andrew say,
I don't know.
Anyway, this has been the Mustang Car Show. You have been listening to Mustang Radio, KWWM 91.3 FM, Western Wyoming Community College, Rock Springs, Wyoming, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.